And so, did you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good? I don't know.
Question authority.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
All right, welcome to Dispatches from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us. We are coming at you from the underground in New York City. That's where we are. This is what we do. I'm glad you could join us down here. This is our third episode from the COVID quarantine here in New York City in the belly of the beast, in the worst of the worst. As of right now, it's the worst of the worst, although with all these states opening back up, I'm sure that's about to change very quickly. So let's revel in the fact, or appreciate, I don't know, revel is probably not the right word to use, but let's appreciate the fact that we are in the worst of the worst while we are, and hopefully the other states don't sink to our level in the very near future. Here at Dispatches, we've been trying to get as many episodes up as we possibly can. This is our third episode from the COVID quarantine. I want to encourage everyone to go back and listen to the first episode that we did about a month ago or so. It was a little bit of a longer episode, but there was a ton of great stuff on that episode about going through all these weird feelings that we're feeling during this quarantine and during this pandemic. So if you're still sort of all over the place and you need some help getting a grip, I think that there is a lot of helpful stuff in that episode especially, so please go back and listen to that one. Here on this episode, we're going to continue to try to get a grip of ourselves in this stressful time and hopefully get some much-needed perspective through all this upheaval, this intense time that we're living in. We're going to continue to do that. We're going to do that in a pretty spectacular way by having a very special guest on this episode. And that special guest is Whitney motherfucking Flynn from the Houston-based band Days and Days. They just released a brand new album called Show Me the Blueprints on Fat Wreck, and it is spectacular. I actually had messaged Whitney, who I am lucky enough to have toured with some and call a friend. I'd messaged Whitney and her partner Sturgeon a few weeks ago, just asking them how they were doing and checking in and seeing if they wanted to submit like a little video just about their thoughts and their reflections on what's going on the situation, on the pandemic, on capitalism and all these other things. And they've been super busy doing some other things. I know they're involved in a lot of art projects. And Whitney obviously had this release of this album that she's been working tirelessly on getting together and getting out and promoting and all these other things without a tour and having had to cancel all of her tour dates and all this other stuff. There's been a lot going on. So they haven't had a chance to do that. But Whitney followed up with me and said, you know, I'm not sure about doing this short video recording. That seems a little too ridiculous. Why don't we just do a little interview? I am not great with the technology. I don't know if people have been listening to this podcast very much. I am at my very limits of my abilities to understand technology doing this podcast. So I had to figure out actually an effective way to record a phone call in a quality way that would make Whitney happy and make listeners happy and make me happy. So it took me a minute to figure it out, but I figured it out. I quote, figured it out, unquote, and pieced together a little bit of a recording situation so we could do this phone call, which because of our schedules and even though there's a quarantine going on, Whitney's super busy and I'm super busy. I don't know why that is true given the fact that we're stuck in this fucking quarantine. So because of our busy schedules, we actually had to schedule it on my birthday, which Whitney makes mention of in the episode, which is the only reason I mention it. Personally, I'm just not great on the phone. You know, I really feel like I need to see someone's face in order to have those conversations that are like heartfelt and thoughtful. I hardly ever do phone call interviews. I think we've done three maybe on Dispatches in the entire history of this podcast. I really like to be in the same room with people, and I've turned down a lot of incredible interviews with folks because I didn't want to do it. But I really did want to hear Whitney's thoughts on the situation, and I wanted to hear her thoughts on the new record. So I did everything I could to make that happen. I do want to apologize to everybody out there because, you know, the sound quality is not exactly what I wish it could be, although I think it's pretty good. You may hear some weird background noises right now or some little beeps and clicks here and there. I appreciate if you could just to look past those. They are not going to stay there forever. I minimize them as much as I could. But, you know, we're in New York City. we're all piled on top of each other with the thinnest walls that capitalists could possibly construct separating us all. I mean, the walls are, I guess, never really thick enough. So we just got to roll with the neighbor's noises and embrace it as like some cultural diversity training or something. And I apologize for any unwanted background sounds. There's nothing horrible. There's nothing fucking weird going on in the background, but there's this might be some clicks and beeps and drums or something in the background for a minute here and there that you might hear. So it'll stop as quickly as we can get it to stop. But I apologize to you nonetheless, and I'm sorry that happened at all. And I appreciate you accepting that apology and continue on with this episode. It's really not that annoying. You're not going to even fucking notice it probably, but it bothers me as a sound freak who wants to hear everything being perfect. But that is it. That's the last thing I'm going to apologize about. I'm done apologizing to you. That is all you're going to fucking get. I probably owe Whitney some apologies, but I am pretty dubious on whether or not she's going to be getting those. So I hope the rest of you can just take my apologies and appreciate that. And Whitney, sorry about that. Oh, wait, fuck. I just apologized to Whitney. All right, that's it. No more fucking apologies on this fucking episode. Let's get to Whitney and Days and Days. They just released their new album, Show Me the Blueprints, on Fat Wreck. It is spectacular. I am friends with these guys, but I'm also a huge fan, and I was just stunned by this album. Literally, I was trying to do some other things while listening to this album, and it stunned me, and I had to sit down and focus, and I had to stop doing the shit I was doing and sit down and focus on the music and the words, because it was absolutely spectacular. I was fucking totally shocked. I know they're amazing, but I just feel like they took it to another level, and there's new emotions and thoughts that they came through and delivered on this album that really shook me in some ways. So we talked about the album on the second half of this podcast, but before we got to that, I wanted to know what was going on in the life of Whitney motherfucking Flynn during this fucking pandemic and during this quarantine and during all this bullshit. I wanted to know what was going on. Look, I have an absolute mountain of respect for this woman. On top of her talent, she's driven and compassionate and thoughtful and caring and constantly, I am constantly proud and impressed with everything she does. And I was dying to get her thoughts on what the fuck was going on. You know, I know all of us have our minds reeling during this quarantine. All of us are thinking about a million things. And, you know, this person who I just have an absolute mountain of respect for, I was dying to get her thoughts on what was happening. So before we get to her thoughts and perspective on the new record, we're going to talk to her about her thoughts and perspective on this quarantine, this pandemic, and all that's been going on in our community. And, you know, Whitney has been doing a great job of taking care of herself. She moved from Houston to New York City to be with her partner Sturgeon from Leftover Crack, and they've been held up together during this quarantine, and what is most certainly one of the most creative spaces in New York City. I'm sure that apartment is just oozing with creativity. They're both such creative geniuses, and I'm so happy that they're able to be together during this really tense time. So I wanted to talk to Whitney about how she's been handling all of it, her perspective on things, how she sees this moment we're in, both in terms of herself and society. And I just want to put a tab on one thing that we talk about later in this episode. Obviously, this interview was pre-recorded. This is not happening in succession of how we're doing these things. The interview's already been done. I just want to put a quick tab on one thing. At one point, Whitney, I can't exactly remember where in the episode this happened, but at one point, Whitney and I are talking about getting through the day, you know, just like how to get through tough times or difficult situations. And she says something to the effect of like lying to yourself, or basically doing whatever you have to do to get yourself through to the other side of the tough time. And I, you know, at the time, you'll hear it in the interview. I didn't edit it. I took issue with it, and you know, it's not really an argument. We discussed it back and forth a little bit, but you know, I took issue with it, and we had a little bit of back and forth. I think it's interesting. I think it's worth talking about. I would have loved to have had more time to talk just about that issue. In fact, Whitney and I, after the interview, we talked a little bit about it more, and I actually went back later and listened to that section of the interview again, because I was just thinking so much about our conversation. I was just thinking about where I was. I had actually been writing a song for Cop Out that had been dealing with these kind of issues, sort of like placating ourselves or placating others just to sort of get them through these tough times. And I think Whitney and her endless insight is getting to something really important here about coping and how we cope, or how we allow ourselves or allow others or encourage others to cope through getting through, you know, getting through the dark nights and pushing through and hopefully seeing something new in the daylight. And I was really struck by it. It changed my perspective when I really sat down and I paused the interview and thought deeply about it and wrote a little bit about it and reflected on that section of the interview. I just wanted to tab that for everybody so that when that comes up later in the interview, people are paying attention to it, because I think it is a particularly striking and thoughtful thing in these times to think about how we get through these times and through this challenging moment, and what we tell ourselves, even if we're lying to ourselves about what tomorrow is going to bring, just to hopefully get us through the dark times and to see a little bit of light that is to come. So anyway, I just wanted to bookmark that a little bit before it comes at you in the podcast. I think, you know, this is why I do this podcast. This is why I love talking to people I have such deep respect for, brilliant, creative, and inspiring people. I think we all need to challenge our perspectives and grow. And here's a situation, for me at least, in real time, that I was having a conversation with someone I have an incredible respect for, someone I think has a really unique perspective, and reflecting on what they were talking about helped me change how I was looking at things. Maybe I'll talk a little bit more about that at the end of the episode, about how I changed my perspective on things. But I had to go and rewrite some parts of a song that I had just finished writing. So I was very frustrated. At the same time, it was exciting, because that's why we do this podcast. Why I do these interviews is so that we can challenge ideas that we have by listening to the thoughts of some other people and hopefully come to new ideas. I hope this discussion gives you thoughts to reflect on and to grow through or to grow with, because doing this, you know, during this quarantine, we have a lot to prepare our hearts and minds to hopefully deal with in the future, not only for ourselves and the loss of our families and communities and our friends, but also to change ourselves and hopefully to change people around us, and also society and capitalism and all these other things that exist out there. So hopefully this podcast gives you some room to hear some thoughts and perspective, to challenge your ideas and grow and prepare your hearts and minds to do that big change that we have to have coming soon. Because I don't know how much more we can take of living like this under capitalism. Anyway, Whitney gives us a lot to think about from looking at this hard moment with so much tragedy and looking at it with optimistic eyes. I mean, not, you know, Whitney mentioned this a little bit later in the episode as well, when she talked about her optimism and trying to make the most out of the situation. And she definitely, she doesn't mean to say that, like, not appreciating the loss and the tragedy that's happening. Obviously, she sees that. Obviously, she's heartbroken by all of that's happening. She's terrified of you know, how this could affect her family and how it affects all of our communities. I mean, I think that's obvious. I think we all appreciate the pain and suffering, at least everyone listening to this podcast. I don't know about Trump and the capitalists. I don't know if they're appreciating it, but obviously, she's appreciating the terrible tragedy. But within the confines of dealing with the tragic outcomes that are surrounding us, I think Whitney's talking about looking at things with as much optimism as we can possibly muster, you know, dealing with our anxieties and trying to be productive in the darkness and then just searching for the light. She also talks a little bit about the role strong women have played in her family and in her life in shaping her tough-as-nails outlook, her never-give-up mentality, and that the second half of the episode, we talk about her insights on the new album from Days and Days called Show Me the Blueprints. So we are going to get to a discussion with Whitney motherfucking Flynn from Days and Days in 1 minute. But before we get to that discussion, we're going to listen to a tune. I'm not sure if everybody out there has heard Days and Days before, But I thought we should listen to a song featuring Whitney Flynn before we got to a discussion with Whitney Flynn, and everybody could understand her ferocity and her insight and her thoughtfulness and her music before you hear her perspective and a discussion. So here is a new song from Days and Days off the brand new record Show Me the Blueprint from Fat Rec. You can get it on Fat Rec Records or anywhere on the internet, really. This is Fast Track featuring Whitney motherfucking Flynn from Days and Days. Get down.
Let's fast track through the romance. Another tragedy makes me weak to my knees. Can feel your heart beating. Blood flowed through your veins, turned to tears on my pillowcase. And I felt like a child, stumbling through my words, trying my best to impress you. You said you liked the way my smile's different every day. The music inside your head played softer when I was there. This life is cruel to pick and choose, to let it die away, just heartache to replace. No way, no reason how, lights are dimmed to darkness now. So I go back to that place where I memorized each line on your face. The music inside my head plays louder without you here. Cause this life is cruel to pick and choose, to let it die away, just heartache to replace. No way, no reason how, lights are dimmed in darkness now. So I go back to that place where I memorized each line on your face.
Hello?
What's up?
Joey, what's going on? Happy birthday, buddy.
Oh, thank you very much. Can you hear me?
Oh,
okay?
My God.
Well, how you doing?
I'm doing oddly excellent. Probably the best I've felt in years.
Oh, that's great. Jesus.
Oh, my God. Fucking Christ. I needed it, you
wow.
know?
I'm so happy for you guys.
Yeah. I really don't even know how I would have survived with the amount of workload that I've been doing.
Yeah.
If I was on the road, like tomorrow, we were supposed to take a flight to Austria. I was supposed to be in Austria tomorrow. Do you understand that, Joey? All my dreams came crushing down, but I got a break.
Yo.
Like, it's not even a break. It's just like it's like last year how I broke my ankle and was forced to get healthy. It's like this year the world decided to have a pandemic, so I had to get my emails done. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Everything's, you're not going to lose any shows, Whitney. Everything's just going to get moved and
yeah,
you know.
I know, but it's kind of just this weird reality where it's like, oh my God, you got signed. Oh my God, you put out this record. Oh my God, you're going to go on tour with NOFX. And then it's like, hold up. This is too good to be true.
Yeah.
Really, y'all?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, but I mean, after the first couple weeks, I kind of got, and especially moving up to New York, like, and not in my depression cave, you know?
Yeah.
Definitely helped motivate me to, like, keep on living. So, yeah.
Well, what's it been like being in New York? I mean, I know you've been in New York, obviously, a million fucking times, but, you know.
Yeah.
You know, spending this much time. Look, I've lived in New York for 17 years now, and this is fucking. I'm not even in Manhattan. Obviously, you're in the Lower East Side. This shit is tense. People are fucking tense.
I don't know.
It's been like, okay.
I think maybe because my reality is a lot different than most people. Like, this is the longest I've stayed anywhere in over 10 years.
Mm.
So any place that I was going to be was going to be, like, mentally stressful and mentally, like, testing myself. But being here, like, I'm – at least I see people, like, walking or, like, there's actual, like, movement going around in my reality, not just my dog, like running around. You know what I mean? Like that was my only interaction besides one of my friends back in Texas. Yeah. And out here I can feel kind of more, I guess, independently, existing more independently, I guess. But I mean, I thrive in chaos, so
yeah,
kind of like in my zone.
Yeah, if you're thriving in chaos, I guess you're in the belly of the beast then. Both in New York City and in Lower East Side.
I mean, I feel
and,
so
and
bad
C-Squat
for like,
and...
even saying that, you know, but it's just kind of the reality of
Why
the
do you
situation.
Feel bad for saying that? Who do you think you're offending when you say that? Who do you think you're offending?
I don't know. I feel bad for my like self that was like 7 weeks ago, you know, who's like alone in Texas. Just having like a giant pity party and being like, you know, I'm an extrovert. I don't know how to deal with this, you know, and being mentally like,
my God,
it was not a good look.
You would feel bad about anything because you're a good person. So you just want to feel bad about things, but
I have to.
Yeah. Yeah.
You I mean, they feel say bad. Like the Catholic guilt, but I have like the Lutheran guilt. Yeah. I don't know what the fuck.
Yeah.
Like, it gets instilled in you, and then you just have to feel like a piece of shit forever, right?
I think it's great that you have found the chaos that works for you. I think anybody else in the world would be ripping their fucking eyes out in your situation, but I'm so glad that it's working for you.
Oh, my God.
I'm ripping my shit out over here, man. I'm not, you know, I have the, you know, I'm not in chaos. I'm just like,
I'm in full quarantine mode. Like, I'm like, I shaved my head.
Oh, did you? What?
I dyed my hair.
Oh, you cut your
hair.
Well,
it's not fully shaved, but it has like a half inch on it. I dyed my hair back to red because that's a thing.
It looks great.
I'm like, do my own eyebrows. Whoa. I'm just kidding. Shit's wild over here.
So the fucking chaos is working for you. That chaos look feels good for you. No crazy quarantine stories from Lower East Side. You haven't seen anybody with like a fucking bag on their head smashing their face against a gate.
I mean, I've been going out. I've been going out and volunteering, and I've just been doing like, I don't know, just being super productive and like, I don't know. I'm out here living with a sturgeon, and we're the best we've ever been.
That's great.
So it's like, damn.
Proud.
I don't know. I mean, there is that sense of being like, this should be horrible, but I don't know. There's a mouse in the toaster.
Oh, okay. That brings me good. That feels more like tour. That feels more like tour then. That's great. It feels like being on the RV with the fucking mouse in the toaster. That makes sense, actually.
Yeah, and they put in a cat door in between ours and our neighbors, so the cat comes in.
Has your mind been... Just in terms of the fucking, not even the music industry, because I know where your mind is. I'm sure everybody understands where your mind is in terms of wanting to get back on the road and wanting people to hear the new album and like, you know, the stress of like needing to rebook a ton of tours and shows and like just the, you know, is there something that has been, your mind has been drifting in this quarantine to a place constantly that you feel like? You know.
I think definitely at the beginning of the quarantine, but I mean, even yesterday, I've pretty severe like anxiety disorder. My blood pressure just like shoots up, and I just basically can't even speak. You know, that happened to me yesterday, and I think it had to do with like that feeling of. There's not enough time, like when I'm at home and I'm like, okay, you got 2 weeks to get your entire life together before you hit the road, every time that hits, I just like feel like I'm just like an alien, like an anxiety alien, just like hanging out in the world. And I just have to like step back and be like, okay, you got another month at least for like getting these things done. And like, I don't know, just kind of scaling back and realizing that all these things that perpetuate that, that sort of, I don't know, that sort of stress kind of, I'm rambling, but kind of gets diminished. You know what I mean?
You're not rambling at all.
I mean, this is the first time, like, it's, you just have to sit back and like take a pause.
Yeah.
And I've been having to do that a lot more.
Embracing that pause.
And get myself refocused. Yeah.
That sounds super healthy. I think it's been really hard for a lot of people. I mean, especially in your situation, because there's so much happening so quickly right now for y'all, and the album is so fucking great, and everybody's talking about it, and you want to be with everybody, and you have all these big plans to, like, accept that you need to take that pause, and there's no way around it. I feel like a lot of people in the music industry have been thinking that way, but I think it's really hard, especially for you, knowing you a little bit. Like,
I don't know. I don't mean to sound cliche, but like everything does happen for a reason. Like I did break my ankle, so I could get like pretty much sober. And this pandemic did happen because you met me in like at the start of my great decline. You know what I mean? And you've seen the past few years of my life have just been like really, really just kind of a dark place, and me just like gasping and climbing for some sort of plateau, and that plateau wasn't gonna come without like the fucking universe being like, let's push pause and let's get back and let's take that healthy like motivation and that kind of drive that you forgot about these past few years and put them into a place where you can succeed and keep this for the long haul. So, I mean, I'm taking it as like a weirdly grateful place I'm saying that
you're not talking about the global pandemic.
I didn't want
just,
the pandemic to happen, obviously, just in my personal life.
Yeah, just personally. Okay. I don't think
no one's going to take that as being like, oh, Whitney likes everyone sick. I hate everyone sick. I never want to hurt anyone. So.
I don't think even like the right-wing crazies want anybody sick. And I don't think anybody feels that way at all. But I think we're all having a hard time just figuring out how this applies to our lives. It's like when a friend passes away, like one of the things we all feel, or family member, like when we're at their funeral, is like, oh my God, I'm never going to see them again, which in some ways is like a selfish thing because you're talking about how you're going to be affected, but it's not a selfish thing because it's about this relationship. So it's, I don't think it's selfish, but can I disagree for a second, Whitney? And I appreciate.
Can I say one thing?
Oh yeah.
It's just my PSA. If anyone is mentally or like physically, like, just like, instead of relapse, like, reach out. And I've lost 3 of my close homies in like 3 weeks now, and I know it's hitting like all of us like really hard, and just want to say it is worth like fighting, like your life is worth fighting for. So that's it.
Like especially for our community and for people see something more than just capitalism out there and like this emptiness. And, you know, maybe this is along the same lines, but I want to just step back for a second because, you know, I appreciate you saying that, you know, you looking at this horrible situation that has put your thriving career on hold a little bit for the time being. And looking at it as, you know, in a positive way, trying to be trying to look at it optimistically, saying you needed it in some ways. But I don't, you know, obviously this is my subjective opinion. I don't see your last few years as being all dark, you know, or like you needing this either. Like you
haven't read my journals.
You are one of the fair enough. But you are also, and I think people see this, and they see this in your music, and they see this in your honesty and your sincerity and how much you push through. And everybody who knows you as a friend knows this is true. You are one of the strongest, most terrifying people that they've ever met. And so I think it's good that you see the positivity in this and that you're using this to your advantage. But I just don't think it was inevitable or that it was beyond your power. I just think, you know, you seize the moment. But
yeah.
I think it was also inevitable that you would not let anything defeat you. So, you know, yeah. I think that's in you too. And I think that's in a lot of people in our community. It's just that they don't feel as empowered as you do. And I think that one thing that happens at a Days and Days show that we're all missing right now is how much you put that music in people's hands, and as well as you like wield it. So, you know,
like succeed without like a community and without like, I mean, I guess you can, but it's like, I don't know. I think the biggest part of what sustains like any person is that blind optimism and that kind of like, think of everything in 10 years or something.
Yeah.
Just so like,
where will it be?
We're not going to be quarantined in 10. Well, maybe we will be, I don't know. I don't know the future, but we can pretend. I always be like, lie to yourself. That's like my broken record. Lie to yourself. Just say everything's going to be okay on repeat until it is, like, make your lies into the truth. Like, I don't know.
Will we be hopeless or married or have children or be buried? That kind of thing.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. Yeah. I write songs too. I think that's Jesse's line. So, yeah.
But the thing is, the optimism is in that never die spirit is so essential in everything you've done. And I think that there is a ton of it in the new record, and there's a ton of triumph in the new. We're going to get to that in a minute, but
I think the community really feels it.
Oh, go ahead. Oh, your grandmother is genuinely, no joke, no joking aside. I mean, Whitney's tough as nails. One morning we were staying at Whitney's house, and I got up early and I was having breakfast with her grandmother and her mother, delightful human beings. But her grandmother was just like, who is this oogle ass piece of shit sitting? What the fuck is this fucking problem? Like talking to me like if Al Pacino was like an older Latino woman from Texas in Scarface, that's the woman we're talking about.
That's real. Oh, my God.
She's terrified, dude.
Oh, my God. When I'm like, I talk about my parents, that's my mom, my grandma. Like, they are the toughest ladies I have ever met. I have had the privilege of, like, meeting in my life, and I feel proud to call them my friends. Like, my mom's a single mom working multiple jobs growing up, and she's like, nah, no one can make me cry. Like, my grandma's like, I've never cried. Like,
yeah, I believe it, dude.
I'm like, oh my God,
believe that. She might not even cry tears, she might just cry straight nails.
And then the whole world would be like, ouch. Yeah. Oh, we don't like that.
Your grandpa's like building some deck in the back or something. He's like, I need some nails, dear. And she's just like, shut the fuck up here.
Yo. You're so awesome.
Well, okay. So we talked a little bit about, the darker reflections, and you feel really good in this chaos. And I think that that's wonderful.
I didn't at first. I mean, that was the biggest part of me moving up here was, it is difficult. I mean, no matter how vulnerable you are, like, to the people who listen to your music or to your like platform, it is difficult to say, like, I genuinely don't think it kind of makes me emotional, but like, I genuinely don't think I would have made it, like, or it would have been a very, very difficult journey if I hadn't have left. And a lot of people call me stupid for like moving up to New York, but I mean, that's that part of reaching out. It's like, I don't feel safe with myself, so I need to go to a place where I can keep living. So, yeah. But, you know, reaching out.
So glad you did.
There's a lot of optimism, like we were talking about, that comes, and hope. There's hope when you do understand that, like, being vulnerable and being able to be like, this is how much I can stand. And if it's more, I don't know if I can. You might.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you should ever have to force yourself into a place where it gets so dark that you have to be afraid of yourself. So, yeah.
And that's the tough part about for our community too. It's so neatly wrapped up in that. It's like we're forced in this moment to look at like the darkest shit. I mean, people are stuck in their homes with people they don't want to be stuck in. That doesn't mean they don't care about them. They just, you know, they might not want to be stuck with them. It also could mean that they're in fucked up situations with people who they don't want to be with at all, and they have to be with them because their living depends on it, you know? And everyone's forced to look at the darkness, and it's just, it's hard to be optimistic when you're looking like squarely at the darkness. But you have for so long looked at that darkness and like grown through it. And I think it's really hard for a lot of other people to do that. And I think that's like what our community is crying out for.
I mean, that's the whole reason of making these songs and like doing outreach and doing and going back to that vulnerability of being like, so people know that they're not alone. So it like we can be vulnerable for you. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like even if you're stuck in a bad situation, like we'll message us, like just message us or watch our live shows or like or in any way that we can kind of fill that void of, I don't know, getting through like a bad night can last 3 years. I mean, I am testament to that. Yeah. Okay. Like you just got to wake up in the morning. Like, and if that morning is a week later, if that morning is a month, like 10 years, whatever, like as long as you wake up from that, like that's the core of our community is picking each other up when we're down, and it should be like vice versa, you know?
Yeah. That's a really good, I mean, I struggle with that a lot too. I think this point about you don't have to do that is really hard for me to understand because I feel like everybody has to, and I struggle with like the needing for everyone to do that. I hear what you're saying and I appreciate it. And I think that it's just and right. I just can't get it into my stupid thick skull to like fucking,
I mean, my band like carried me through the past couple of years, like me kicking and screaming, like I couldn't write. I could barely perform. I didn't want to even look at myself. You know what I mean? I didn't want to exist. Like I didn't want to die, but I didn't want to exist.
Yeah.
You know, and it is that community. It is those people being like, okay, well, like this is who people think you are. This is who we know you are, and trusting them to keep going. Being like, when someone is like, it's gonna be okay. Yeah, maybe they're lying. Like, but just fucking trust them and just find out for yourself. You know, so because things don't last forever. Mm. So that still applies to bad fucking shit that goes on in your life and the bad perception that you view yourself in, it doesn't last forever. So you like be curious, like never stop being curious.
So it's not just like getting people to look at the bad things and deal with it, but it's just like helping them get through the day so that they can hopefully in the future be able to do that.
I mean, after doing so much bad shit, like, and not liking yourself, at least you've narrowed down everything that you don't like about yourself. So don't do those again. And just like, don't do that. Yeah. And then once you stop doing that, then you'll probably more than likely come out as a good person or like that you've always been.
I think that's good. I think I'm going to go back and listen to that again, because I think that is very insightful. I want to wrap this segment up. I'm just curious. I know you're a Sturge, and I'm sure y'all have been talking about this on some level. And you can call
your birthday.
I'm sure you have not been talking about my birthday.
He says happy birthday, by the way.
Oh, thank you, Sturge. Thank you, Whitney. I'm sure that's definitely not what I was going to say. I'm sure. But have y'all been thinking, you know, I know these big questions about capitalism have been more so on people's minds recently because, you know, we're talking about essential workers and we're talking about totally destroyed economy. I'm just curious. I know it's not like your absolute interesting thing, but this is a bullshit politics podcast.
What's up?
Have you thought, and have you guys been talking about, you know, the future in terms of politics or capitalism, or like what people have been thinking? Has there been anything that you feel like talking about on those fronts?
We watch the news every night, and those commentaries should be a podcast in itself. But besides that, I mean,
I would love to hear that podcast. That would be great.
Please. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
But I think that we've always lived in dangerous times, you know, but like the fact that we're like the government and Trump is giving such a like a quote unquote positive platform for white privilege and ignorance is, I mean, it's not going to come out okay. No. Like, obviously, no, I mean, no. I'm seeing blatant fucking truths.
Yeah.
I understand that.
But it
does shake you to like this very concrete place of your morals when you're seeing it genuinely like confuses me. It doesn't confuse me. That's the thing that makes me angry. It's not confusing to me because we've seen this. Now they just have something to fight for because they're fucking bored. Like, oh my God.
Oh, the right wing crazies. Yeah. I think we're going to be reflecting on that moment for a long, long time to come because it's just so crazy that they're out there.
Oh, I have a voice, but no one else can, right?
Yeah.
Where's that optimism?
Well, yeah.
Right when you need it.
Yeah.
I don't think I have that. Maybe that's optimism in itself. Like, it all has to be destroyed. I'm like, oh, well, okay.
Grandma,
you know?
Come on. Yeah, I'm with it. It's so hard. Yeah. I mean,
I'm like, my grandma's an anarchist and she doesn't even know it.
I don't know if that's negativity, you know? Like, I don't know if wanting to destroy rampant white supremacy is, you know, and like a failed economic.
We have to destroy white supremacy. Yeah. That's it.
And it's just so obviously.
Every single ounce of fucking just, it's not even ignorance at that point. It's just like hate. It's like this bred hate. Like it's.
And with the cops in New York City have just been. All right, let's take a little break for a second. And let's listen to a tune, and then we're going to come back and talk for 10 minutes about the new record, if that's okay with you.
Yes, please.
What song would you like to listen to?
Ooh. Can we do Flurry Rush? Because I want to talk about that.
Yeah, let's do Flurry Rush, and then let's talk about it as soon as we come back. All right, so here's the first song off the record. All right, get down. No, here we go.
Until every particle of pressure's got my psyche circle in the drain.
But shit, I can't complain compared to many folks that got it great.
Why does it always seem that everything was better? It's okay.
Try, suppose that I get down another fifth. Tell myself, forget, pocket the grenade and hold it in. But giving in is overrated.
And I'm sick of being faded.
And I'd like my uptime to redeem it. So I have to wipe the sweat from our brows, tears from our eyes, booze from our mouths. I know shit's going south, but we got this just as long as we don't get to the escape route. Just chug along and everything will play out fine.
Maybe it won't, maybe we're fucked.
Maybe we're born to die and all shit out of luck.
Plus it does feel a bit narcissistic to deny our existence
as an exit congealed from the dust. How I love to find myself some solace in some Pollyannish paradise and be the glass of full, but it's so difficult to not deliver glass inside with booze.
I've got so many self-inflicted bullet wounds above my.
It's a miracle I ever leave the bed to walk the streets. But when I do, a wave of panic washes over me and triples up my lungs.
Can't seem to act the way I'm supposed to be
without catching a buzz. Meaning's tough to find when anchored to a drug. So I hold dear the hope of work. One day I'll live a life unplugged and wet the sweat from our brows, tears from our eyes, booze from our mouths. I know shit's going south, but we got this just as long as we don't keep to the escape route. Just chug along and everything will play out fine.
Or maybe it won't,
Maybe we're screwed. Maybe we're just arbitrary blips, all born to lose. Maybe searching for meaning or hope to deny life is pointless. This consciousness should tell the rules. Within my head, this speaks to sabotage my comfort with an existential dread. Oh, how nice it'd be to just enjoy one day without the vacuum of anxiety to suck the fun away like it's a gorgeous day outside. Too bad that everyone I know will die. It doesn't matter what we leave behind. We're all standing place, just launching arrows at the sky. The finish line of this rat race is just our imminent demise. See what I mean?
Let's talk about the new album for a couple of minutes. I fucking love it. I've had it on repeat. I'm not going to lie. I feel like I'm a pretty tough guy. But every time Saboteurs plays, I was running today in the park this morning, and Saboteurs came on again. And every time, I tear up. Every single time.
Yeah.
It's upsetting to me that a song would make me want to cry. But,
it's upsetting to me because I had my own verses for that song, and they got... written over.
Oh, well, let me just say real quickly then, fuck Jesse. Oh, sorry.
I applaud Jesse for, like, he was just like, I finished the song. I was like, I had verses. And I was like, but your verses are, like, I'm going to say it.
Wow.
They're really good.
I mean,
that song makes me cry. Like, I played it in front of, my family, and I was like, I was just like, I hate that. It makes me cry. It's so good.
It's fucked up.
Jesse is fucked up good. He's awesome.
But fuck that guy anyway. Still, nonetheless, fuck that guy. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about the first song first, because we just played this song. Can you tell us what you feel like? This song is also, I mean, there's hit after hit after hit on the album, which is amazing. Congratulations. It's also really annoying for your friends, because we have no ability to like meet your level at any time. So it's just constant embarrassment for us. But congratulations nonetheless.
Thank you. So this first song, it kind of grew on me, and it's kind of like the same where you're going on your run every morning.
Don't.
Like,
what are you gonna say?
I would go on this walk, and
okay.
This album really kind of pushed me into a place where I was like kind of debilitated in the sense of, I was destroying my own body, like, to a point where this record wouldn't have happened if I didn't really get a wake-up call. And, I mean, this record and my broken foot, my dog saved my life. This is our first album ever recording completely sober on both of our ends. Which is fucking unheard of. You've met us. You know us. Like,
how does that make you feel to think
it was? I want to say it was a sobering experience.
Fucking nerd.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I had to pull it out. But it was, I don't know.
I mean, you did it, right?
It puts me into like this very, very intimate place in my own processing of like what my life has been, and like all these different kinds of emotions, and that one line in Flurry Rush when I was taking my morning walks, like, it's a gorgeous day outside, too bad that everyone I know will die. Just all of us, like, I stopped counting after 50 over the past few years. And I just want to say, like, being on the road and never being able to really process and never being there for like the people you love, and then they're just gone in a second. Just kind of, it is almost that selfishness where it's like, you're sad because you don't get sad anymore. And you just kind of expect every single like hand that you want to hold just disappears. That kind of realization of that you are allowed to be sad. You are allowed to be depressed, even if it is a gorgeous day outside. But it is that real fucking, that real shit. It's like, it's a gorgeous day outside. Too bad everything's shit and everything sucks. But do you get what I mean? Like the album, like that song, is like, see what I mean? Like, see what I mean? Like, it's still gorgeous outside. It's still good, you know?
Yeah.
And you're allowed to exist sad in this gorgeous life. Like, full circle. Like, a bad night can last years, but
I feel like that sentiment really reverberates through the record of, you know, like being stuck with these weird contradictions and nothing really makes sense. It's absurd, and we just got to keep moving forward, you know. I feel like there's a lot of that record.
Like, a lot of people have been talking about, like, the sobriety in it, but that's, like, sobriety in anything, honestly. It's, like, I started, like, I'm not getting wasted anymore, which is
good.
Weirdly satisfying. I don't know. I'm a fucking maniac. I'm a crazy person.
Yep. Testify.
And me sober, like, everyone's like, have a drink, please, Woody. My God.
Oh, my God. No.
But it's like, it's just this, like, talking to a friend when you didn't want to. Like, it's kind of going out of your comfort zone, realizing things that you don't really want to face, but that all in all, like, it is worth it. And it is, like, I don't know, we can be miserable and then find happiness together and stuff. Well, Cheese Town, sorry.
What? Was it, do you think it was more, I mean, obviously it was stressful to be doing this for the first time, you know, not doing it the way you've done it before. So that's obviously, it was very difficult to do that. And obviously it was really difficult to, like, be in this fancy studio with all these crazy engineers. I'm sure all of that was terribly stressful.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But what are your feelings about now having done it sober? Like, do you think it changes the way you look at the record, or, like, changes what, how you feel about what
Hell
you were
yeah.
able? How so?
You know what? Someone on YouTube was like, I don't think this is Whitney playing the trumpet. She moved to New York and stuff. I was like, damn, I sound that good. Oh my God. I don't know. It's giving me, like, this weird confidence, but not like a rude confidence, but just this kind of, holy shit, if you put your mind to something, something will, like, great will come out of that. If you help yourself, that means it's helping other people. And that's something that I was always the opposite of, being like, I'm hurting myself because other people hurt me. You know, and kind of turning that around into being, like, this radiating force that's coming out of my art is like, a genuinely the most satisfying thing I've ever done in my life.
Oh, that's great. Awesome. I mean, I'm just so happy you're all able to do it. And then on top of that, the fact that it's fucking spectacular and your trumpet playing sounds absolutely amazing.
Thank you.
It is so incredible.
I practice so much.
Yo, you can, you know, I can't imagine what it was like to be in the studio. And, you know, so many of your songs have to deal with drinking and getting fucked up. And
yeah.
And then to then bravely do what you always do, which is being sincere and honest. But then being sincere and honest in a way that maybe other people might not react positively as much to, because our community likes drinking and fucked up, but not so,
well,
so much.
Well, yeah, do that. I mean, I like getting fucked up sometimes, but, like, it's about not hurting yourself and not hurting others. Like, that's the thing. Everything in moderation. Like, I mean, I started drinking again, like, a few months ago, and I would wait. I still, like, after I hang out with people, I wake up in the morning, I'm like, oh my God, I don't hate myself.
Yeah.
That's that whole anxiety thing where I'm like, should I hate myself? What the fuck is going on? It's like, no. Those, like, that's gone now. Like, you're in a different phase of your life. And with all of our records, it's always about, like, kind of archiving every part of our lives. Mm. Especially, like me and Jesse's, like, me and Jesse started making these records when we were just kids, and I mean everyone that's listened to us is just legitimately listened to our life story of just us trying to figure shit out. And that's, like, that's the bottom line of everything that anyone should ever do, is, like, You don't have to be perfect, but, and you don't always have to be the same person you were.
Yeah, amen to that shit. Amen to that shit, man. Fuck yeah. Proud. And I think the fact that you could record this so sincerely with that same mentality, but it's still so differently, and it's fucking spectacular. And I know,
you know my attitude, Joey. I walked in there, I was like, you are not going to fuck with this shit. And I was all snapped my fingers. I was like,
I actually would have enjoyed
seeing. My name is Whitney motherfucking Flynn. And they were like, oh my God.
I would have actually enjoyed being there to see Mike's face when you walk in and was just like, fat Mike's face is just like, I fucking run this shit. And he's just like, yeah.
I am a whole ass person. Okay?
But I've been lucky enough to tour with you and call you a friend, but I'm going to say as a fan of Days and Days, your voice has sounded incredible in the past, always.
Thank you.
But the depth and clarity in this album is so profound in your voice. And I just think, do you feel the same way? I mean, you talked about the trumpet
not
playing.
Drinking a fifth of vodka a day. Surprising. You know, who would have thunk? Like,
I've had so many people tell me to drink more vodka to make my voice sound good, so I don't really know.
Yeah, it'll sound better for you. Yeah. But...
Fuck. I'm going to delete. Yo, you know what? I'm not going to delete that. I'm leaving that in there. And then.
Yeah, that's... you should delete that.
Do you?
No, I mean, I've seen the comments are like, damn, that girl was wasted. I was like, I thought that was a good show. I was like, nah. Fuck. But
do you feel like your vocals were special on this album? Do you?
Yeah, I mean, I do want to brag just the tiniest bit, but on the song I wrote, Fast Track, that was a one take wonder.
What? Crazy.
I know. I'm just saying. I am just fucking saying.
People who don't know this. Like, people who are in major studios don't do one take wonders, right?
Everything, I know.
Everything's getting punched in.
We did not even take like a second take. He looked at me and he was like, "That's it."
Wow.
And I was just like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "We don't need any like backup, like because you usually have to do like three, but nah."
Wow.
So I am super proud of that. That song means a lot to me, and I just like came in and. And I think when I close my eyes and just like in the moment of me writing it, I can sing like, and especially I work the best under pressure. So me trying to impress people is either comes out horrible or it comes out like, damn, that bitch can sing. Yeah.
Well, I actually went back and listened to other songs from other albums after, cause I'm like, yo, am I wrong? Is her voice actually better than ever? And to be fair, I went back and I was like, oh no, I was wrong. Your voice has always been that good. But
I mean, on our very first record, I got kicked out of choir. Like, I mean, I was like on our first records, it was just whisper and no one will know. Like, and I was like, like, I don't know. I hope it's getting better.
I think it was.
I'm turning 30 this year. Let's see what another 30 years can bring. I'm gonna be like, crazy.
I think it was the clarity. I feel like the clarity is more profound in some of these songs, for sure. I went back and I was just like, oh man, your voice has always been so strong. I guess it's just like startling every time to hear your voice on recording. It's just so spectacular.
I mean, like Fat was, and Johnny who recorded us, he was very, very understanding when I was like, I didn't do the vibrato when it was supposed to be, like, I didn't scream that how I wanted to. So the patience of me trying to hit every, and the convenience of like all of our records before this, there was no punching in. You know what I mean? It was just like,
it's nice,
if you
right?
fucked up once, like if I didn't hit one note, like how I heard it in my head, then okay, start over, erase everything and start it over. So it was that kind of, that freedom of being able to like punch in and like being able to like piece things together, which like I didn't know that we did, like, I don't know, we worked way harder than we had to for so many years.
Yeah.
But okay.
But it trains you, like, right? Oh. But it trains you to like fucking do it.
I felt like legitimately dumb because I was like, this isn't how things, like, this isn't how people do this. So going into the studio was just, like, cake for us, like, the actual recording part, because we were like, oh, fuck, okay, well, fantastic. That's... And then we just, like, kind of, like, just busted through all this shit, and we're like, awesome, this is great.
Johnny, the guy who engineered you should have to pay, should get paid like half the amount of money because he doesn't fuck, because he didn't work as hard. So
hell yeah.
Pay that money back.
pay that to my grandma. Pay that to Bobo.
Oh, yes.
She takes money orders, checks, Visa, MasterCard.
Get the fuck out of here. She doesn't need any money. She goes around the neighborhood collecting fucking payments from everybody she sees anyway for protection.
I mean, that chick, she runs protection. Next time I see her, every time I come home.
Don't mention me.
She's like, she's always like, Whitney, are you famous yet? And I'm always like,
yeah,
I'm working on it. Maybe.
She doesn't say it like that, though. Safe. She doesn't say it in
one
a sweet Whitney.
I'll be like, Bobo, I'm famous. And she'll be like, finally, took you long enough.
She doesn't say it in a sweet Whitney Flynn voice. So she says like, Whitney, are you famous?
I know.
Tough as shit. All right, I want to wrap it up, but I want to ask. To me, this album felt warmer than the other albums. Not that there wasn't.
Oh, you have two questions left.
Yeah, well, okay, one serious and one stupid. But to me, this album felt warmer. I don't know if that was just me, or it's just like me expecting it, or if it was recording quality. And obviously, everything you've done has always been so. Everything Days and Days has done has been so profoundly heartfelt. But there's always this emotion. There's always this brutal sincerity. There's always this emotion to everything. But I just felt like this album was very intimate. Like, it was more intimate. And maybe that was the sobriety. I don't know. Do you think that there's an optimism that runs through this that isn't on the other Days and Days records as much? Am I reading into it because I know you guys?
Like, I think so.
Is there something to the warmth?
Like, I mean... Like I said before, it's about me and Jesse growing up. Like, we might not talk about that in our songs, but, like, as far as, like, the lyrical content of what we're saying is, like, especially for this album, it's like, we didn't know, like, we were gonna make it this long or this far, you know? And it is terrifying, and it is, like, scary, and it is... scary, like chasing your dream with a gut bucket, you know? Yeah. Like, we didn't know that we were gonna make it. We didn't know that anyone was gonna hear us or anyone was gonna relate to us. I mean, that's a day-to-day life, and that kind of, like, gratefulness of, you know, like, we did make it this far, and this is fucking terrifying. Like, we don't know where it's gonna go next, but right now we're happy to be alive and, like, and share this kind of, like, this new chapter of our lives. I mean, that was the biggest, like, stress for me, like, was when I did get sober, and then when I started drinking again, it's like, oh, I don't want people to hold me, like, to that forever, to, yeah. They're like, oh, you're drinking again, or something. I mean, it's always who you are in this moment of time, and how... you can be that positive reinforcement into other people's lives, and no matter where that comes from. So I think with this album, we really tried to, like, stress that, and that it is scary to grow up or whatever, you know, but yeah. it does happen, you know? Yeah. Can I say, you know, enough times?
Yeah.
You know.
No, you're in New York now. It's fine. You can throw some forget about it and your nose in there. It's fine.
Forget about it. No problem. I'm in New York now, right?
Yeah, it's fine. That's it. Everyone does your nose here fucking endlessly. Yeah, totally. All right. Where can people get the album, first of all? This is exciting.
Everywhere.
To say.
I saw that Target was selling it. Yeah. We're total fucking sellouts.
No. There's no content on this album.
I think JCPenney has it. I don't know.
There's no
You're
content
probably
on this album.
Stream it on, I don't know, fucking Home Goods.
There's,
like,
no content.
There might be a coupon in the magazine. I have no fucking clue.
Let me ask you for real. Do you feel like you held back any content on this album because you thought it would be too much for Fat Wreck or for Target? Like, is there anything you feel like you didn't do?
Nah.
So you're not sellouts, dude. Yeah.
You know my attitude. And you know my mouth. And you know Jesse. Yeah. Hell no.
No
one's going to pat our heads and do something without, like, everyone that we've worked with has always been friends, and this was, like, the most fun and the most, like, creatively enriching experience for going out of our comfort zone and not, I don't know.
But people could... people could it feels intense listening to it. It is hard to actually, I texted you this the other day. It's hard to, for me, it was hard the first few times I listened to it, like, do anything else because there's so much profundity in, like, everything that's happening on the record that it's hard to think about anything else. And I know you guys aren't going to be limiting yourselves or marketing yourselves in some ways. You guys are honest all the time to a fault. Anybody who says because your album is finally in major stores you're a sellout, you send them to me or to your grandma and we'll fuck them up.
This is like, I mean, bottom line is from 12 years ago to now,
you should feel nothing but proud.
Me, Jesse, and our band have never tried to front anyone or tried to be like, we're the best people, we don't have problems, buy our shit. Like, we're like
deeply flawed people. You can go ahead and say that. You can go.
But everyone is. And,
yeah, I'm just fucking around.
It's bottom line fucking humanity. And this is the way that we perceive our realities that we want to share with other people. And hopefully that they can connect with that. And that's all you can do. Yeah. I mean, even in your daily life. That's how you have friends. Like, it's just you expressing your reality to other people and hoping that they can connect with you. And
amen.
I don't know. This is the truest thing and the most honest way that we can do that.
Amen.
I mean,
and people can go get the record from Days and Days Bandcamp page. It is on. There is a vinyl. There is a vinyl out there that you can get. Right.
The FatRec.com.
And okay, last question, stupid question. I wanted to ask if out of any song that's ever been written, not a Days and Days song, don't choose an all torn up song or cop out song just because it's me, Whitney. I'm sure you could have sounded a little more believable than that, actually. Well, can we do another take of that then? That's fine. I'll cut that out. if you could live inside of a song, like if you could like throw yourself into a song and then you would be in that song for eternity, what song would you pick?
100%. No questions asked.
I'm going to ask questions.
No, 100%. This Isn't This a Lovely Day by Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong.
Oh, wow.
And it's the chorus is like, isn't this a lovely day? Isn't this such a lovely day to be caught in the rain? So it's no matter if it is raining outside or shit's going fucking wild, you're safe inside and warm. Yeah, with all the people that you love. And I could live with that forever.
Oh,
so.
Man, that's pretty good. Fine, I don't have any fucking questions to ask. That's fucking bullshit.
It's my favorite song ever.
That's great. Oh, yeah. Isn't this such a lovely day?
There is a recording of me and Jesse covering that song. When my grandma got diagnosed with cancer, Jesse learned it on the guitar and I sang it for her. And that's also why my grandma's a badass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen
and
pictures.
And my mom gave her kidney to my grandpa, RIP to my grandpa. But damn, yeah.
I've actually seen
just
pictures.
A big shout out to both of them for being badasses. And I miss you and I love you. Yeah. It's
all right,
3 years now. Yay.
Thank you so much for doing this. I know.
Joey, happy fucking birthday.
Oh, thank you very
happy
much.
Happy fucking birthday.
What a delightful
and
way to spend
thank
birthday.
You for being my fucking friend.
I love you very
genuinely,
much. And I will.
Genuinely.
Congratulations on the new record. Y'all are fucking
thank
geniuses.
You.
And I'll see
it's
you
called
in
Show
hell.
Me the Blueprints. Show me the Blueprints.
Days
show
and
me the
days.
Blueprints.
It down.
Yeah.
I want to take a break. I want to listen to a tune with a little bit of shameless self-promotion involved. My band, Skullcaster, did a split record not terribly long ago, maybe a year and a half or so ago, with another band from Houston called Escape from the Zoo. Escape from the Zoo features Jesse also from Days and Days and his other band, Escape from the Zoo. And it's a fucking fantastic split. Obviously, I think our band does a great job. Jesse's other band, Escape from the Zoo, is phenomenal on it. And they did a song on that record that they actually changed, renamed, modified. It's obviously Days and Days type version, but Days and Days covered it. They changed the name of it. It's called Advice on the Days and Days record. It's got a different name on the split that we did. It's a phenomenal song. I mean, the song is a fucking phenomenal song. It's absolutely fantastic. I feel very honored to have played with it on a split that we did at all. So it's spectacular. But we're not going to play that song. You got to go get the Days and Days record to hear the new Days and Days version of that split cover, Advice. You're going to listen to a song from my band Skullcaster. This is a song called The Abolitionist. It's about the left coming together. I think the right has done a pretty good job of coming together and looking past their differences. And I think the left, we have a really hard time because we're so conscious and so thoughtful. It's easy to get over differences on the right because no one really understands their differences. They're all a bunch of fucking morons, sort of. But on the left, we care so much about everything. And all of our differences are so meaningful to us. And it's hard for us to get past them. And I actually don't think we should get past them. I think we should look at our differences as strengths and see that those differences, while they're sincere and honest and heartfelt, they're not something that we should ignore for sure, but those differences can actually make us stronger in understanding different perspectives. And that's what this podcast is about in a lot of ways. And that's what this song is about. And it's about focusing on the fact that we have very sincere and important common beliefs and wanting to abolish capitalism and wanting to abolish the police as they are in the society. And those things should bring us together and we should have deep unity about those. And we should appreciate how much common ground we have while we don't ignore our differences, but we use those differences to help make us stronger. That's what this song is about. It's called The Abolitionist from our split, from Skullcaster split with Escape from the Zoo called All Cells Are Bogus. Here's The Abolitionist from Skullcaster. Get down.
There's no such thing of peace without justice. From this day forward, we will meet violence with violence.
Unity with forces. Today with bodies one for abolition. A common cause of bomb is strong. A principles of consciousness. We don't deny.
Secured has checked into this, and it's illegal for us to ship guns.
Those of you that have guns, please do not send them to us. Go to your local dealer. It is against the law, for we have checked into it, for us to receive these types of things. So go to your local gun dealer, turn them in, send us the cash.
Okay, that's the end of the episode. I want to say thank you to Whitney Flynn from Days and Days for doing this discussion with us. This discussion was only supposed to be 30 minutes long and ended up being close to an hour. So I really appreciate her thoughtfulness and time and energy. I know she was exhausted when the discussion started. I can't imagine she got any energy through the discussion, but hopefully she got some perspective. And I hope everybody out there listening in got some perspective from Whitney Flynn. I know I thought a lot about what Whitney said during this podcast, and I think that there is a lot to reflect on. I think there's a lot to grow from, and I think there's a lot for us to think about as we move forward in this quarantine and in this pandemic, and as we try to change ourselves and change the society around us. I think there's a lot to really think on and reflect on that challenges who we are and what we want to accomplish, because there's a lot of work for us to be doing. We've got a lot to do. And hearing a refreshing, thoughtful perspective from someone who just never gives up, who's always looking at themselves, who's always growing, who's always reflecting themselves, I think it gives us some air to breathe, some room to move, and some thoughts to hold on to. So thank you, Whitney. Thanks to everybody who's been listening in. Thanks to everybody who's been going to the website and donating and buying merch. I want to say a special thank you to GFred and Lauren and Casey and Gabe, who continue to support this podcast in a myriad of ways. Plus, there's just dozens of other folks who have been actively ordering a ton of stuff on the merch page. I really appreciate that. It helps us a lot. For everybody out there who is unable to do that, I understand times are tough. You might not have the money where you can be giving it to other folks or buying some merch on the internet. I get that. I totally appreciate that. Please, the most important thing to us on this podcast, the reason why it's free, the reason why we do it, is we want people to be growing. We want people to be reflecting. We want people to be engaging with underground ideas. And especially when the underground has been squashed by this pandemic and this quarantine, it's even more important that we're sharing those thoughts and we're getting them and spreading them around in whatever spaces we can. And hopefully this podcast is doing that. Hopefully you're doing that with the people in your community. If you feel like this podcast can contribute to others in your community, if you feel like it's important for people to hear the ideas that we're engaging on the show or the method that we're approaching and engaging those ideas themselves, please share this podcast on your social media. Go wherever you listen to this podcast and rate us. Figure out some ways to help people get down with this podcast, because there is no advertising budget. This is 100% DIY. We're not getting any money from this podcast, and there's no money going into it, as there is no sources of income. So please do whatever you can to contribute to this podcast, getting to other folks and reflecting and sharing those ideas. That's the most important thing to us. If you can, in turn, make a donation or get some merch, we appreciate that. You can go to the website, dispatchersfromtheunderground.com. There's a donate button. There's a merch page. There's a lot of cool things on there. You don't just have to give your money away for free or subscribe to this podcast by donating to it. That's fine. You can get something for your money by going to the merch page. But the most important thing is reflecting on this ourselves and not swallowing the mainstream media's bullshit that we are being bombarded with, especially in the fact that we are so detached from our underground community. Right now, we're so detached from engaging with the underground rebels and revolutionary thoughts that we engage with all the time in our communities, and we don't even necessarily see them as such, but especially now we're being choked by the mainstream media's portrayal of this world and how it should be and where it should be going and their perspective on things. It's even more important that we are digging deep into our own reflections and confronting our thoughts and checking ourselves and checking our community members and checking the people around us and trying to grow through this and hopefully grow past capitalism altogether. So anyway, thank you all for listening. Thank you, Whitney Flynn. Thank you to Real Punk Radio at realpunkradio.com for airing Dispatches from the Underground every Wednesday night on their incredible programming. They got a ton of cool punk stuff going on there all the time. So thank you to them for getting down with us all the time. And we will have an episode up in the very near future. I know I say that all the time. I know I haven't been able to stick to it as much as I would like to, but we have a bunch of submissions that we've been receiving for people's, with people's reflections on this quarantine and this pandemic. So we have a bunch of material. I just need to put it together and put some of my bullshit thoughts in there too and get it out there. It should be done within the next 2 weeks. So get back
to Dispatch from the Underground ASAP. Hit that subscribe button on our website. Refresh and your podcast listening devices, whatever you listen to the podcast on. Hit refresh as soon as possible because we will have an episode up there within 2 weeks. I promise you that. That you can mark on my grave because I promise you that. Anyway, thank you all for digging what we do over here, and we'll see you soon. Till then, get down. We're going to end this episode with a tune. We're going to end this episode with a terrific band from Pennsylvania. They just put out a new record on May 1st. This is a band called Apes of the State. I love this band. I play with them a few times. I think they're absolutely fucking phenomenal. April from this band is also in another band called Local News Legend, also a fantastic band. And she's just a staple of the Pennsylvania DIY scene. She's absolutely fantastic. She's done a ton, not only for me, but for the community at large. And actually, Danielle from Out of System Transfer, another amazing band. They're from here in New York City. Danielle, April, and I think a few other people have been putting together these incredible online events called Coping with Dystopia. They kindly had me on for May Day, for May 1st, for International Workers' Day. I fucked it up. I really ruined it because I did not follow the directions clearly enough, and I'm a fucking borderline Luddite and kind of a moron, so I fucked it up. But they weren't too upset about me fucking up their incredible programming, and it was a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed it, and I think it's great that there have been some online outlets that have helped hold together the DIY community, especially the folk punk community has been really doing a wonderful job of staying together. I think the punk community could do a little bit of a better job of learning from those folks and having some regular events. But this Coping with Dystopia event, they've done 8 of them now. I think they're going to continue doing them. They've raised a lot of money for some wonderful organizations. People should check them out. I think they have a YouTube channel. If you just look up Coping with Dystopia on YouTube, I'm sure you can find a page of a bunch of the highlights. I'm sure they are smart enough to cut me out of those highlights because I fucked it up. But there's a bunch of other amazing musicians who deserve to be in those highlights, and it was a blast to be on it and a great thing to drop in on every single week that this quarantine has been happening, that we haven't been able to go out and play music with each other. They've been having people do these live streams, and it's been a lot of fun. So I appreciate Danielle and April doing these events and everybody who's been involved in it. I think that they're fucking amazing. It's been really inspiring to know that a quarantine and a pandemic can't destroy at least sections of our community. So thank you to Danielle from Out of System Transfer, who will be on our next episode, and April from Apes of the State and Local News Legend, who is going to have a song on right now. This is a new song from a live album that Apes of the State just released on May 1st. The content seems super appropriate for this moment. It is a ton of fun. The live album is super. I think it's for whatever people can donate. So go onto their Bandcamp page, Apes of the State, and download this brand new record. Give them a couple bucks and download this brand new album. This is a song called Better Off. I think it's fucking amazing. What a fucking terrific song. So here's Better Off by Apes of the State. Get down.
If I could find the strength to leave my house, I might be reassured that the whole world isn't burning to the ground outside my door. It's been so long since anything has gone as expected that I've learned to stop having any expectations. And if everything went as expected, I wouldn't be half the person that I am. So I might be better off. Comforting the places and denying my reality. That no one I know is the president. I've never seen before the road to hell. I'd rather stay asleep and dream.
tight.